Let's just stay in the quietness of God. Sometimes it's hard to sit quietly. We want things to happen. We live in a really noisy world. You can't go anywhere almost without there being some kind of noise. I want to talk this morning about resting in God, about what that means, about how we live a life that is restful in God, how that makes a difference to the way we live. Resting in God takes a number of forms, but to sit quietly and allow God to speak to our hearts is really important. The Holy Spirit has time and space to work in our hearts and begin to bring some of the realities of God to our understanding, to reveal truth to us. It's really important that as part of our services, we just take that moment to let God speak to us. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. Lord, and as we consider all that you've done for us, we just need your help to understand some of that. We need your help to bring revelation to our hearts about your greatness towards us, about your heart towards us, your love and your grace you want to impart to us. Just as we share a few thoughts this morning, minister into our hearts, we pray. Amen. Do you like peace and quiet? I love it. It's not always easy to get, though, is it? Peace and quiet. You know, I go all on my own some to go fishing, and we get a little bit of peace and quiet. The other week, I even threw my phone in the pond because I got fed up of it ringing. No, I didn't. It went in there. But to just experience a time when almost you're encased in silence and nature, and just watching all of that stuff brings something of a peace to our hearts. But even then, we can be in a place where it is peaceful and quiet, but it's noisy. There's stuff going on inside of us that just won't let us rest. And what I want to talk about this morning is what God has promised to us so that we can have rest right down in our hearts, so that when we're sat in a noisy place or a quiet place, in God, we are resting. We have full confidence of all that he's given to us and all that he wants to do in our hearts. So I'm not a psychologist at all, but I just identified there's three kinds of rest that we have. There's physical rest, which is great, isn't it? After a hard day's work or you've been doing stuff and you sit down and you just rest, and it's so good sometimes at the end of a day just to sit down and rest our bodies. There's our mental health, our emotional rest. It's probably the hardest one, because even though we can physically be resting, our mind is going. So there is something about our thought life there where we need to find rest. And there is spiritual rest as well. We understand what that means, spiritual rest, because we have a spiritual relationship with God. But that spiritual battle, that spiritual interaction is going on in everybody in the world. Some people don't understand that. Some people do understand that. And that's the bit that I want to talk about this morning, is our spiritual relationship with God and how we find rest in him. Because when we have rest in God, we find it much easier to rest physically, emotionally, and mentally. My mum passed away recently, and as you do, as a family, you get together and you talk about your mum, and she didn't find it easy to rest, my mum. She was always on the go, always doing stuff. And I've got two brothers, so there's three boys in the household, and my dad. So as you can imagine, she had a really easy life. And she just couldn't rest. And she found it really, really hard to sit down. And some of you may experience that. You can't sit down and rest until everything's done. Well, can I tell you that it's never done and that you'll never rest? But somehow we've got to find that place in God where we can rest. But my mum, and this always makes us smile, it used to make her laugh as well, she always used to bring the Hoover out when the football matches were on. It was like, I'm going to get my own back now. I'm going to get my own back. I'm going to do this. And yeah, because she couldn't rest. She knew it needed hoovering, but she had to do it at a point where, for us, it was really important. And she knew that. And she used to disturb us. But resting is sometimes difficult. And some of us are better at resting than others. So I've been reading through Hebrews, and I want to read Hebrews chapter 40, because this is where the writer of the book of Hebrews was talking about the rest of God. And it's a real thing. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the Bible. This place we can have with God where we are resting in Him. And I just want to explore that for a few moments this morning. Now, Steve's going to put it up. Yeah. What version is that? Do we know? I'm going to read it to you in a different version that will hopefully give a fuller picture of really what I'm talking about. It's more decipherable in English. This is called The Faith Rest Life. Now, God has offered to us the same promise of entering into His realm of resting in confident faith. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did, yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise, and we experience the realm of confident rest. For he has said, I was grieved with them and made a solemn oath that they will never enter into the calming rest of my spirit. God's works have all been completed from the foundation of the world. For it says in the scriptures, and on the seventh day God rested from all his works, and again, as stated before, they will never enter into my calming rest, place of rest. Those who first heard the good news of deliverance failed to enter into that realm of rest because of their unbelieving hearts. Yet the fact remains that we still have the opportunity to enter into the faith rest life and experience the fulfillment of the promise. For God still has ordained a day for us to enter in called today. For it was long afterwards that God repeated it in David's words, if only today you would listen to his voice and do not harden your hearts. Now with the promise of rest was fulfilled when Joshua brought the people into the land, God wouldn't have spoken later of another rest yet to come. So we conclude that there is still a full and complete rest waiting for believers to experience. As we enter into God's faith rest, we cease from our own works, just as God celebrates his finished works and rests in them. Okay, so we're going to talk about God's rest. Now, the writer to the church of the early church was trying to encourage them in their faith. Now, a lot of these believers were expecting Jesus to come back. Sue's already said that Jesus was explained to his disciples that he was going to go, but he was going to come back again. And in the minds of the early church, that meant like next week or the week after. I mean, if somebody says they're going away and they're coming back, you would expect that to be within a time scale, wouldn't you? And so the early believers were expecting Jesus to come back, and after, I don't know how long, 10, 20, 30, he hadn't come back. And they began to fall back into Judaism. And Judaism is good works. It's doing the right thing to please God. it's saying the right prayers, it's reading the right scriptures, it's doing all those things that the Jewish faith encouraged in the Old Testament. But the book of Hebrews is always pointing the early believers to Christ and to understand and believe in his promises and his faithfulness and his grace. And our relationship with him is by grace, not by works. And in chapter 4, we're looking at the promise of God to enter into his rest. Now, he talks about them. And what he's referring to, the writer, is them. He's talking about the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. They were going through this relationship with God over a 40-year period where God was living amongst them. He was bringing provision for them. But they lived in disobedience and doubt, even though God was amongst them and giving them all that they needed. And they kind of demonstrated a lack of faith, and that's what the writer is making reference to when he talks about they didn't really believe what God was saying. They were disobedient to what he was saying, and therefore they couldn't enter into his rest of the promised land. That's their journey. They were going from captivity, they were in freedom, and they were going to go into the promised land that God had provided for them. But because of their behavior, because of their lack of faith, there's only Joshua and Caleb from the whole of the group that left Egypt that actually went into the promised land. The rest died in the wilderness because they couldn't go in because they had no faith. And because of the time lapse between Jesus going and him coming back, some of the early believers began to fall back into Judaism, pleasing God by keeping the law. The writer refers to the gospel, the good news from God. And this was preached to them. So it was preached to them. So the people in the wilderness, they knew the good news of God. They heard it from Moses. He would always be encouraging them in their journey. And he came against, I think he said to God, "I've had enough, take me." That's how he felt as a leader, because they were so difficult to manage. They were so full of unbelief and disobedience that he'd had enough. But they knew the good news. They'd actually experienced God working in their lives. He brought them out of captivity. We had the miracle of manna every day. He supported them. He was with them all the time. And yet they didn't enter into his rest. They didn't mix faith with the promise. And because of that, they failed really to get into his rest. There remains a rest for his people. So the writer was saying that there is a rest in God that we enter into by faith. We've got to trust God and enter into this rest. But it's not a sitting down kind of rest, not a physical rest, it's a spiritual rest that God has promised and is true. And we can trust him to keep his word. Our salvation is secure through Jesus Christ, not by works. That's the good news. If we mix faith with that, we're living in God's rest. We know that his promises are true. They're yes and amen. We understand that he loves us and cares for us. He's got us in his hand. And there is a rest in that, knowing that God actually is honourable to all of his promises. If we live without faith, because we can do as believers, we can live without faith. We can come to, just as the children of Israel, they experienced this freedom, and yet they lived without faith. And sometimes we can live without faith in our walk with God. And the moment we begin to do that, we begin to lose our rest or our peace. God is trying to complete us, and I love this. This always brings rest to my soul. When I look at myself sometimes, I go, I'm not very good. I've failed, or I am failing. I could have done things better. But God's view of us is that he is completing us, that he's working in our hearts and in our lives. We are a new creation, and day by day we are growing in God. And if we put faith into that, then we are at rest with ourselves, because very often the person we fall out with most tends to be ourselves, because we are not happy with our behaviors, with our thought lives, with our actions, and we can fall out with ourselves very, very easily. But God is completing us. God wants to take hold of us, and he wants to turn us into something new. He wants to transform us from what we were into what he has got planned for our lives. And if we can live in that by faith, then the journey as a believer is a developing one. It's an ever-growing one. It's one where we're putting our trust in him to do the work in us. And sometimes when we are walking on our own, we try and do all that without God. And we wonder why we are not at rest. We wonder why we are losing our peace. It's because we're trying to do it ourselves and we haven't got faith to allow God to do that in us. I always try and imagine, and I've said this before, when we see the creation of humanity, we see Adam and Eve and their relationship with God. They were at complete rest. They had absolute trust in God for everything. And it's difficult for us to imagine sometimes what it's like to have no fear, to have no worry about tomorrow, to have no worry about the past, just to live in the experience of God just being everything that we need. That is resting in God. It's putting our absolute trust in who he is and what he's trying to do. I love Matthew 6, verse 25. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why do we need to worry about tomorrow? Rest in me. I'm going to give you everything you need. Rest in me. And Acts 10, 36. Next one. Acts, the next one, Steve. Have you got it? Acts 10. Oh, there we go. You know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. That is the good news, that we can have this peace, we can have this rest through Jesus Christ. If what the Bible is telling us is true, and you're not living in rest, Bible is telling us that there is a place in God where we can be at rest completely, trusting him for everything that we need. Doesn't mean that hard things won't happen to us, but the promise of God is that whatever you go through, you'll have rest in your heart, because you'll know that I'm with you. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. I think the ultimate rest is knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we are right with God and we are loved unconditionally. I think that's really important. I know in my early days, I was brought up in church just like this, and I knew that God needed to forgive me. And I knew that I had to ask for forgiveness, but I wouldn't. And there was no rest in my heart, because there wasn't. I understood what that was. But the moment I asked God to forgive me, there was this immense sense of God's rest and his peace in my heart. That was my initial experience. And I didn't need to worry about anything because God did all the worrying for me. If we just allow him to live in us, he does everything that we need. And it was just that total peace. I'd gone from turmoil and strife with God to having absolute peace and rest. It was just an awesome experience to allow God into my heart. And there is nothing better, is there, than putting a relationship right that's gone wrong. I'm sure we've all been there where we've had a bit of a fallout with somebody. And you can sit down and rest, but your mind's going. You're not really at rest. And when you put it right, it just feels great. It feels good. And that's what much of our turmoil is in life, because we haven't got rest in God. We're fighting him. We're not applying faith to our relationship with him. We're not letting him do what he wants to do to find this rest in him. And this morning, I just want to underline the fact that God wants to give us rest, and it is available. We've got to put our trust in him. We've got to get our relationship right with him. If it's fractured, put it right. If you need forgiveness, ask for it, and he gives. Just allow God to be part of who you are. And I think resting in God is understanding that what God says is true. All his promises in the Word are available and are true. Our future is secure in him. Not only our future here on earth, but our future, once we pass from this life into the next life, is secure. What a great rest that is, to know that no matter what happens, really, that's where I'm going. And it's better than this. Let's rest in God. And it makes a real difference in the way that we actually communicate to other people, because they see that. Now, we're very much a believer here that our lifestyle really demonstrates what we believe, and it demonstrates God to those around us. And when we're going through those turmoil experiences of life, when we have the rest of God, it shines like a beacon. It just shines, and other people just recognize that God is living in us because we have his rest. So if you're not at rest with God this morning, put it right. Put things right. Allow God to be part of who you are. And if you're living in and you don't understand why you're not at rest, you can't sit down and relax. Maybe you need to look at the spiritual side of life, not just the physical or sometimes the emotional stuff. Because when we put things right with God first, those other things follow. Whenever we put God into something, the moment we begin to put God into them, things begin to change in our hearts. And so that's always our starting point. When we are feeling sort of in turmoil, allow the rest of God to be part of who you are. So this rest that God is talking about is an awesome thing. It's a promise of God. It's a lifestyle and something that God has given to us. But we've got to have faith. And if you feel this morning that you haven't got faith, it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. When we come to salvation, he gives us something of faith. The hard thing about faith is we've got to use it. We've got to learn how to apply faith. And that is where the battle for our mind and our heart really is. Because the enemy will seek to destroy and kill and not allow you to live in this rest. But God wants you to live there. So put your faith in him. Put your trust in him and let him just bring rest into your heart and your soul. Well, thank you for listening to me. May you find rest in 2024. Thank you.